had to change it to students stand in the blessing, because at the first service we asked all people who are young to stand, and some of our fishermen men's group thought they'd be funny and had the impulse to stand up. And so it's funny. We pray that this is a great year for you and for your families as well. So one of the kind of lesser read books of the Bible, one that we don't go to very often, is actually one that we are focusing on for a series here this fall, and it's the letter to James, or from James. It's at the very back of the New Testament. We started our series in James last week, and we continue today. So this is James chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And he's writing, he says, "My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, 'Have a seat here, please,' while to the one who is poor you say, 'Stand there,' or 'Sit at my feet,' have you not made distinctions among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved family of God, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. One of the things that I get to do as pastor is I get to sit on Synod's Candidacy Committee. Now, this is a group of people, of pastors and lay leaders from around northwestern Minnesota who walk alongside folks who are entering ministry. So folks who are going to seminary from our area, there's a committee of us, a group of us who walk alongside them as they are in that process and offer support and encouragement. And along the way, there are three main times of conversation and interviews that we have. There's one at the very beginning of the process called entrance, and one in the middle called endorsement, and some of my favorite ones are at the very end of the process called the approval interviews. And that's kind of the final stamp of sorts before someone is allowed to enter ministry. And one of my favorite questions, I love asking kind of oddball questions at these. One of my favorite questions to ask people in their final interview is, if you could throw out one book of the Bible, which book of the Bible would it be? And I bet 9 times out of 10 people answer Leviticus. That's the one that's chosen by so many. Maybe not too surprising. It has a bit of a reputation of sorts for being harsh or being out of date, for not really keeping with this modern time and faith. But one of the things that we see in our James reading today is that James loved Leviticus, at least parts of it. And particularly in this section that we read today, I think James can help us recover some of the more merciful parts of this book of Leviticus. A little fun fact is that when Martin Luther wrote about the books of the Bible, and particularly when he wrote about which book he would throw out of the Bible, it was James. Particularly because of texts like this that focus so heavily on the things that we do, the works that we do. But we'll see if we can recover a little bit, lift up some of the wisdom that can come from this second chapter of James. Because when we look at it in its full context, I think it can be really powerful for the ways that we are with one another today. So when James begins chapter 2, it seems like he actually has a scroll of Leviticus open right next to him, because he quotes a number of different things that are directly from this book. So he opens with this warning not to show special treatment to those who have privilege within the community. Right? He says, "Do not claim the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ while showing partiality or showing favoritism, playing favorites." Right? And we go back to Leviticus 19, and it says, "You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With equity you shall judge your neighbor." Right? Now, we can wonder why James would have brought this up, right? Was this something in his community that was really difficult? Did he see this a lot happening in the church, where people were treated differently and treating others differently based on their economic status? And I don't know that it would be a big leap for us to imagine that, because I think we see that happening in a lot of different areas of our world today. And I wonder, as we were reading that text, as we were hearing James describe these things that were happening within his community, I wonder where you saw yourself in that text, right? We hear the situation that James is describing. He says, "If a person with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, 'Have a seat here in the good place, please,' while you say to the one who is poor, 'Stand there,' or 'Sit by my footstool,'" or others have actually translated it, "Sit under my footstool," which is not a very comfy place to be, I would imagine. He says, "Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" I wonder where you are, where you situate yourself in the story as you're hearing this, right? Who do you identify with in this story? Do we place ourselves with the wealthy visitors and worry about getting the best seat? Or do we identify with the one who is in poverty and simply happy to be acknowledged at all? Maybe we're kind of a bystander in it, right? Maybe we're just sort of watching this scene unfold. We don't really feel like we have one place or another. But one of the things we hear, and this will come up again throughout James, he goes on to say, if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, which is actually also quoting Leviticus, right? You shall love your neighbor as yourself is a law that comes from the book of Leviticus. He says, you do well if you fulfill this law. And it's here that James really begins to get to the root of things in chapter 2. And what he's saying is that we can often show this kind of favoritism or partiality, as he calls it. We can often show this kind of favoritism toward one group of people and claim that we're loving our neighbor, right? Which isn't wrong. It's not false, right? But oftentimes we can say that while we're also ignoring other people, or we're not giving others space to come in as well. It's this really thorny thing that happens within our hearts. And oftentimes it can be unintentional, or it can happen without us really even being conscious that we're doing it, right? That we're treating people differently. And so what James just continually comes around to is he continues to call out faith that refuses to act for the sake of our neighbor, right? Basically, faith that is just words and isn't backed up by any kind of action. And he gets to the heart of this in the last few verses, right? He said, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works, does not have deeds right? Surely that faith cannot save, can it? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. I want to stop here, and I want to note that this is where Lutherans can kind of get tripped up, right? Because this is where Luther really has a bone to pick with James, right? Especially if we just take that verse by itself. Faith, if it has no works, is dead. If we just take that verse by itself, we can get tripped up. And I think the reason for that is we're taught in the Lutheran faith that we're saved by grace through faith, not because of works, so that no one can boast. Right? This is from the letter to Ephesians. We went through the letter to Ephesians over the course of the summer. It talks a lot about the grace that unites us. And I think when we remember the full context of James, or at least as much as we know about it, it can help us put these things in a right orientation, or can help kind of turn the way we see things in a way that can be helpful. So James is writing to a group of early non-Jewish Christ followers who are dispersed, right? Who are scattered in different communities. He calls them the dispersion, right? So it's people who are not Jewish. They're Gentile followers of Jesus, people who have come to love Jesus and follow him. But they're kind of scattered around, and they don't have that sort of faithful tradition of Judaism that ties them together. And they don't have the same kind of laws that govern their outward appearance in the same ways that Jewish communities would. And it's one of the things we hear about in the book of Leviticus, right? We hear about certain styles of dress. We hear about the length of hair for women and facial hair for men. And since the non-Jewish people, since the non-Jewish followers of Jesus don't have these kind of guidelines of outward appearance, James essentially writes the earliest version of the song, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love." Right? They'll know we are Christians, not necessarily by our outward appearance, but by how we act with and for one another. They'll know that we follow Jesus because our faith and deeds will be inextricably entwined with one another. I think that the reason that Lutherans can get tripped up here is thinking that it's the deeds or it's the work that save us. And that's not what James is saying here. Because last week in James 1, we heard Pastor Aaron preach an excellent sermon. And in James 1, we hear him say, every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from God, coming down from the Father of light. Right? The gift of our salvation is a gift that can only come from God. The only one who can redeem us and make us whole is Jesus Christ. And the deeds that we do flow out of that work of Jesus. The ways that we walk alongside those who are marginalized or made to sit under the footstools of society. Showing hospitality is one way we put our faith into action in that kind of way. If someone who is vulnerable and in need, who lacks daily food, comes to us and we give a nicely worded blessing but don't offer them a drink of water or something to eat, then James goes so far as to say that that is a failure of our faith. Because for James, faith is an active and moving thing. And I think deep down we get this. Deep down we do. I wanted to put our mission statement up as the sermon slide. If you have a bulletin, it's on your bulletin cover as well. Because I wanted it to be front of mind as we talk about a faith that's active in love. Just a quick little aside as a reminder that I was going to be a high school English teacher before I was going to be a pastor. So we're going to have just a little grammar lesson really quick, if that's okay with everyone. So our mission statement, right, is to thank God, share Jesus, and help others. Right? That's the mission that we gather around as Calvary Lutheran Church, this community of faith. And thank, share, and help. Those are all verbs. Right? And verbs are action words. Verbs are things that we do as individuals and that we do as a community. They're some of the ways that we live out our faith, the ways that we live and move in our community and through our days. Right? It would be a totally different thing if we came to church and us pastors went around and say, do you still believe everything? Okay, do you still believe everything? Do you still? We went through each and every one of you and asked if you still believed all of the same things. And then we said, great, okay, same time next week. Let's go, right? That wouldn't be church, right? No. Because it's not only about what we believe, but it's about the ways that what we believe are enacted in the ways we live our lives. When we put it in another way, this final verse from James 2 today is a reminder that faith, when it's not backed up with deeds, is lifeless. Right? Faith, when it doesn't move alongside and reach out to those in need, it's asleep. I think God calls us to more than a sleepy faith. We're called to a bold and moving, serving faith that reaches out to those in need, so that gathered as God's people in this place, all of us together, we can thank God and share Jesus and help others. Not so that the world can see how great we are, but so that the world can see how great our God is. And for that, we can say thanks be to God. Amen.